It's time for the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. It's time for the game on News Talk 1400 WKNW Sault Ste. Marie. For the next 2 hours, we'll get an in-depth look at local sports in the Eastern Upper Peninsula and Algoma region and hear from the coaches and players that are involved in the game. We'll also analyze the college and pro sports scene across the region and dive into the biggest national stories, too. Now, let's get to the game and join your host, Scott Nason.
Greetings and salutations and welcome to the game on News Talk 1400. You can also hear our show online at newstalk1400.net and podcasts at thegamesportsshow.podbean.com. As the man said, my name is Scott Nason, broadcasting from our News Talk 1400 studios in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, on this Monday, February 7th, 2022. The game, the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, will be with you up until 8 o'clock tonight. And coming up on tonight's show, we will be joined by Lake Superior State University's men's head basketball coach, Steve Henninga, as over the weekend, the Lakers were in action in GLIAC play at the Bud Cooper Gymnasium. We will also be joined by co-host David McKeag Jr., host of the Game Sports Show in Sioux, Ontario, as we will discuss the Sioux Greyhounds, the NOJHL, and all the goings-on in the North. And Butch Davis, co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports, will join us to talk about what is going on in the Metro Detroit sports region, as well as around the area, along with him sitting down for our roundtable. But as always, we start the show with local sports, and let's look back at girls and boys basketball from this past week. Starting with girls basketball on Monday, the Sioux High Blue Devils knocked off Newberry by the score of 73-13 on the road. Claire Erickson had 17 points for Sioux High in that one. Rudyard bounced back on Monday from their loss to Sioux High with a thrilling 82-76 win in double overtime at Oscoda, as Brooklyn Besteman, boy, did she have a big night, 39 points to lead the Bulldogs on Monday. Pickford also won on Monday as they knocked off Inland Lakes by the score of 64-48. Lucy Bennett had 22 points to lead Pickford. Engadine won also on Monday night, improving to 9-4 as they defeated Mid-Peninsula 49-28. St. Ignace on Tuesday had no trouble with Pickford. The teams played a close game earlier in the season, but as you'll see on this broadcast, the Saints are rolling as they knock off Pickford by the score of 57-29. Also on Tuesday, Cedarville Detour in girls basketball, they keep Newberry winless as they topped the Indians 59-36. And Munising, they defeated Brimley in Brimley on Tuesday in girls basketball 46-34. Autumn Tremblay had 11 points to lead the Bays. On Wednesday, Engadine, they edge out Brimley in a close game, 59-58. Leia French with 20 points to lead the Eagles. As well, the Cedarville Detour Raiders, or Islanders, excuse me. They used to be the Detour Raiders, but now they are the Cedarville Detour Islanders. They top Brimley at the Carl Parker Gymnasium 46-34 in girls basketball. The Islanders now 7-6 on the year, 4-3 in EUP conference play. They will be home to Lake Leelanau St. Mary's on Friday, while Brimley 4-9 on the season. They will be at Rudyard on Tuesday. Rudyard at Newberry, or I should say Rudyard hosting Newberry on Thursday night in girls basketball, as Rudyard wins that game, improving to 6-5 on the year, while Newberry, they drop to 0-11. And the big game on Friday night in girls basketball was in St. Ignace, as the St. Ignace Saints knocked off the Sioux High Blue Devils for the first time this season and put themselves in good position to claim the Straits Area Conference title, as they won on Friday night over the Blue Devils 47-36. Allie Schultz with 28 points to lead the Saints in that game. Laura Innerebner had 10 points for the Blue Devils. So St. Ignace now 13-2 on the season, winners of 10 in a row, and also 4-1 in Straits Area Conference play. They will be at Rogers City on Tuesday, while the Sioux High Blue Devils saw their win streak end at 7 on Friday night. Still very good season for the Blue Devils, 11-4, 4-2 in the straights, and they will be at home to Gaylord tomorrow night. And you can hear that game on 1230 WSOO with Dave Watson and Ray Bell tomorrow night, starting with the tip-off show at 6:45. Pickford on Friday night, they improved to 8-2 on the season in girls basketball as they knocked off East Jordan by a 61-42 count. Kennedy Guild had 25 points for the Panthers on Friday night, and Pickford, they host Onaway tonight. Boys basketball from this past week, Sioux High knocked off Newberry on Monday, 82-37. Max Scott with 20 points in that game for the Blue Devils. Engadine, they remain winless on the year as they fell at Mid-Peninsula on Monday night, 59-55. Pickford on Tuesday, also winless on the season as they fell at Harbor Springs in boys basketball, 75-43. Wednesday night boys basketball, Newberry with a good win as they top Cedarville Detour at home, 62-54. St. Ignace, they win at East Jordan on Wednesday night, 62-45. While Harbor Springs rolls over Pickford 75-43. Pickford would lose at home to Munising on Thursday night 66-50. The Panthers are 0-10 on the season. They will be at Engadine on Friday. Another big game in the Iggy Zone on Friday down in St. Ignace in boys basketball. The St. Ignace Saints knocked off the Sioux High Blue Devils for the first time this season as the teams split their season series, with the Saints winning at home Friday 61-50. Johnny Ingles with 24 points to lead the Saints. Max Scott poured in 12 for the Blue Devils. St. Ignace now 8-4 on the season, 3-2 in straights area conference play, tied with Sheboygan for second place. They will be at Rogers City on Tuesday, while Sioux High now 6-7 overall, 3-3 in straights area conference action. They will be at Gaylord on Tuesday. And if you want to hear more about this game, you can find the broadcast with Dave Watson on our website, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. You can find all Sioux High Blue Devil broadcasts with Dave and when I fill in for Dave from time to time. In addition, this weekend's edition of Full Court Press with myself and co-host Matt Johnson, where we talk about EUP boys basketball, that features an interview with Saints head coach Doug Ingles on that show. Again, you can find that at thegamesportshow.podbean.com. Other boys basketball action from Friday night, Cedarville Detour, they defeat Brimley 72-54. The Islanders 5-6 on the season, but in second place in the EUP conference. They will host Lake Leelanau St. Mary's on Friday. That game played in Cedarville. Rudyard continues to roll in boys basketball, undefeated, top of the straights and EUP conference, as they routed Newberry on Friday night, 81-33. Tate Besteman with 21 points to lead the Bulldogs. Rudyard 11-0 on the season. They are at Clare tonight, while Newberry 4-8. They are home to winless Engadine, that game also being played tonight. And one game on Saturday in boys basketball, Brimley evens up their record at 6-6 as they keep Engadine winless as they top the Eagles 72-54. Brimley is home to Sioux High on Friday, while Engadine now 0-10. They will play later this week against Cedarville Detour. The Sioux High hockey team was on the road this weekend down in Battle Creek. The Blue Devils shut out Battle Creek United 10-0 on Saturday and fell to Southwest Michigan on Sunday 3-0. The Blue Devils now 10-9-2 on the season. They'll be at home this weekend for their final two regular season games. They will face Negaunee on Friday at 7 p.m. and Traverse City West on Saturday at 3. Both games at the Big Bear Arena, and we will have the Saturday game on 1230 WSOO with Dave Watson and Matt Arbuck, starting with the face-off show at 2:45 p.m. We'll talk more hockey coming up with David McKeag Jr. at the bottom of the hour, including the Sioux Greyhounds and the Sioux Thunderbirds and the Sioux Eagles. And congratulations to Seth Ferguson. He had 3 goals on the weekend to go along with 3 assists, and he was named one of the NOJHL's Players of the Week. So congratulations to Seth Ferguson as the Eagles a very successful weekend, winning a pair of games and moving up in the standings. The Sioux Indians had this past weekend off, and they will travel to Detroit this weekend to take on Little Caesars in Maha League action. And coming up next week on the game, we'll be talking Sioux Indians hockey with either their general manager, one of their coaches, or heck, we might invite them all here because we haven't had them here for a while. We always enjoy talking Sioux Indians with those folks. Lake Superior State University hockey team idle this weekend. They remain in sixth place in the CCHA with an 8-12-0 conference record and 24 points. The Lakers currently 2 points behind Northern Michigan and 1 point ahead of the Ferris State Bulldogs. The Lakers will host Ferris this Friday and Saturday night at the Taffy Able Arena. You can hear those games on Yes FM with the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford and John Forrest. And don't forget, coming up tomorrow afternoon right here on News Talk 1400 starting at noon, the Laker Hockey Show with the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, along with head coach Damon Whitten and a cast of thousands. Laker Hockey Show Tuesdays at noon right here on News Talk 1400. We'll talk more about Laker men's basketball coming up here in a few minutes with their head coach, Steve Hedinga. The Laker women also in action this weekend. They took on Grand Valley at home Thursday. Grand Valley ranked number 9 in Division 2, and they showed it as they whooped up the Lakers on Thursday, 78-21. Mackenzie Bray leads the Lakers in that game. She scored 8 points. Lakers come back nicely on Saturday as they earned their third victory of the year as they knocked off Davenport in overtime by the score of 65-64 at the Bud Cooper Gymnasium. What a game for Mackenzie Bray. She finished the game with a career-high 27 points, leading the Lakers offensively in that one. Bray went 8-for-13 from the field, including 3-of-3 from the three-point line. Another big game by freshman CeCe Hacker. She scored 14 points, all of those coming in the second half. Hacker also led the team with 7 assists while adding 8 rebounds in the win. The Laker women now 2-9 in GLIAC play, 10th place with an overall mark of 3-14. And the Lakers will return home to the Bud Cooper Gymnasium for a game against Ferris State on Thursday at 5:30. And then the Lakers will travel to Midland, taking on Northwood on Saturday. The women will tip off at 1 o'clock in that one. And you can hear Thursday's games, including the men's game against a very good Ferris team, on News Talk 1400 starting at 5:15 p.m. I'll be filling in for David John for those games, and we'll be joined by Sioux High basketball analyst and color commentator Ray Bell. That should be a lot of fun. Good crowds this weekend at the Coop, and certainly Ferris State, they bring in a couple very good teams. So if you want to see some good basketball, head down to the Bud Cooper Gymnasium. You will definitely see it this weekend. I should say on Thursday. Laker tennis opened their spring season this Friday and Saturday. The men's team posted a 4-3 win over Cornerstone in Grand Rapids, Michigan on Friday. The men's team followed with a 4-3 loss to Lawrence Tech on Saturday, while the women's team opened up their season with a 7-0 win over Lawrence Tech. And then on Saturday, and that game, actually that match was on Saturday, so just one match for the women. Looking ahead, both teams will continue their non-conference seasons on the road next weekend, as the teams are scheduled to take on Findlay this Friday and Tiffin on Saturday. And congratulations to Nelson Racing and the team ridden by Justin Tate and Andy Wesloff as they captured the checkered flag for the team's first ever win at the I-500 snowmobile race on Saturday night. We're going to take our first break here on the game. We come back, we're going to talk Laker men's basketball with their head coach, Steve Hedinga, all coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
Are you a do-it-yourselfer homeowner or even a professional contractor and need quality electrical supplies? Maybe thinking about doing some upgrades and don't know where to start? Everything Electric has supplied the Eastern Upper Peninsula for over 40 years. Their experienced staff can help you choose the right supplies you need for your home, business, farm projects, or anything in between. Call 906-632-1235 or come in and talk to the experienced guys at Everything Electric, 2893 Ashman, Sioux, Michigan.
Ah, the joys of cooking. Just find a recipe, get the ingredients, preheat the oven. Okay, this is already too much. Pull up Applebee's to go instead. Choose from the whole menu, order and pay online, pick it up, and now you're home with dinner. Ah, the joys of not cooking. Applebee's to go. Now that's eating good in the neighborhood.
Pick up your next meal with Applebee's Carside to go. Order and pay online, pick up, and head home.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Madigan Pingator, your independent Auto Owners agency on West Water Street in the Sioux.
I gotta figure out how to move the snow before it gets here. Wow, a lot of plows and blowers in the market. And where are they made? Okay, China. Wait, Brazil? What the? There's no way I'm gonna throw away my money. I'm going with Boss.
Boss snow plows from Gaylor Thompson are made in the UP, where winter and deep snow are just a way of life. Boss plows, made in Michigan for Michigan winters. Waiting for you at Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service, exit 373 just off I-75 Rudyard.
Let's get back to the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Let's get back to the game on News Talk 1400.
And welcome back to the game on News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you, and joining us in studio, head coach of the Lake Superior State University men's basketball team, Steve Henninga, joining us once again on the game. Coach, always good to see you, and thanks for joining us once again here on the game.
Thank you. It's great to be seen and great to see you as well.
Well, it's great to have you, Steve. And of course, the Laker men's basketball team coming off a very successful weekend and week of a GLIAC play, as your team won three games this week, starting Monday in Davenport, a 74-67 win, returning home to take on a very good Grand Valley squad on Thursday, winning that game 75-72, and then capping off the week on Saturday, a strong shooting performance, taking down Davenport again, 97-86. So we timed this interview very nicely for you, Steve. Certainly always good to come in after a three-game winning streak, especially when it's in 1 week.
Yeah, it's obviously rare in our league. It was a makeup game, the Monday game at Davenport, and that was coming off of two losses on the road, and it was three games in 5 days on the road, and our guys just really rallied themselves. You know, they kind of met after the game on Saturday on their own, and you know how those meetings go. You don't have a lot of those, but the guys in our locker room, our senior leadership, actually the guy that's hurt, Cade Nebling, was at the game, and he did a lot of the talking from what I've heard, and I told the guys, the less I know about it, the better. Whatever happened in that room is for you guys to have. And, you know, certainly I think there's a lot of really good upperclassmen leadership on our team with, you know, the Malik Adams and Justin Fisher and CJ Robinson. And those type of guys can really, you know, galvanize a team with a lot of young guys. Because we do have a really, you know, big mixture of upperclassmen and a lot of freshmen that are getting a lot of minutes and those kind of things. So they kind of have to kind of lead the way with how they lead by example and certainly the things that they're saying, but they got to have that work ethic and the credibility behind it. And that's where the leadership comes in.
Looking at the games this weekend, Steve, on Thursday, I thought that was a real big win for your team. You know, first half, the shots weren't falling, but you never got too far out of reach. You were hanging around, and I was really impressed by the energy off the bench by David Wren. I really thought he was one of the keys in that victory, scoring 12 points, hustling all over the court, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. I thought he was a big part of that win, and certainly probably your biggest win of the year. That's a good Grand Valley squad, and just the way you guys won that, I thought, really helped propel you throughout the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, hats off to Dave. He's been, you know, a starter last year, and his role's changed a little bit as sixth man on our team this year. And you know, I kind of talked to him before the shoot around of that Grand Valley game. I said, Dave, would it surprise you if I gave you a stat that you've had 3 offensive rebounds in 12 GLIAC games? And he said, huh? I was like, yeah. I said, with your, you know, athleticism and speed, you know, that surprised me as well, but I thought it was worth sharing. He's like, all right, I'm going to focus on that. And he had 4 offensive rebounds in that game.
And big
it wasn't just that. I think it was just something switched in his mind about, all right, I got to go. And this is who I am. And he played a phenomenal game that second half. I mean, he had that 5-second Reggie Miller thing that, I mean, he got a steal, went down, hit a pull up. They tried to inbound, as you saw, and he stole it, threw it to CJ. CJ threw it back to him. He hit a three. He had 5 points in 5 seconds. And it just, I mean, that turned the whole momentum of the game around. I think it gave us our first lead or tied it or something. But it was a huge momentum play for us. And that thing kind of carried over the rest of the way. And he played a great game.
Keymon Bassett with 22 points on Thursday. I thought that was one of his best games of the season on both ends of the court. Malik Adams with 21, getting most of his points from the free throw line, going 12 of 14. And so those are three seniors right there, Steve, that you certainly expect leadership from. And they showed it, getting a big win against Grand Valley.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. To beat Grand Valley is always tough. And they put it to us pretty good at their place. And kind of had fun doing it a little bit, and I think it rubbed our guys the wrong way. We showed them the film, and you know, they were having a good time at our expense a few weeks back. So that's the beauty of playing everybody twice. You get a chance to kind of wrong those rights, or right those wrongs. Excuse me.
I like the second one better. Sounds better. Could have used that earlier this season,
yeah,
right there.
There's no question. But it was a great win, and like you said, it was probably our best win of the year because of what you said. Our guys never gave up. They just kept fighting. We got down 10 points, 12 points, three or four different times, and came back and cut it to 4 or 5, and they put it right back to 10 or 12. And those kind of games can really turn any way you want them to go. And our guys, to their credit, just never gave up. And as you said, stayed within shouting distance. And then we made our run. We were able to take the lead and hold on at the very end and get our stops that we needed. And obviously there was never an exhale until the final buzzer, even the half court shot at the buzzer that could have tied it. I mean, it hit side of the backboard. It was dead on distance wise, but just a little left, lucky for us. And we'll take the win and move on.
Steve Hettinger joining us on the game, head coach of the Laker men's basketball team. And Steve, congratulations on your 250th win as Laker head coach in the win over Grand Valley. And I didn't want to lead with that because I know you want to talk more about the team, but also, it's the journey, and you have coined the phrase, and you see it on many of your warm-up jerseys, enjoy the journey that you see. And let's talk about the journey for you personally. I mean, this is your 15th season. You're the all-time winningest coach at Lake State, GLIAC championships, NCAA appearances, and really, in my opinion, installing a winning culture of basketball at Lake State. How much have you enjoyed that journey, and what keeps you on that journey?
I love it. I love basketball, but more than that, I love the relationships and being an intentional influence on the players. I'm blessed to coach. And each year it's a different crew. It's, you know, it's refreshing every new year. There's new guys that come and other guys that leave, and the whole team dynamic takes on a whole different phase every year. And that's what I love about it. And, you know, just, whoever, like Kelsey, put that video together on our Facebook, and there's extended versions of those videos that I got a chance to watch. And that just, you know, brings me to tears. It was because of, you know, you see all the guys that you've coached over the last 15 years and to have even a small influence on their lives. They've had more influence on me than I have them, I promise you. But that's what it's all about. It's just relationships and trying to build those and foster those and, you know, do what you can to just be the best influence you can be and hope that you're making all the right decisions for them. And when they get into tough situations in their life, they have something to fall back on, and they know I'm always going to be here for them.
Steve, looking at Saturday's game, you took on Davenport, much different game than the game against Grand Valley. You had the lead throughout, winning 97-86. Free throws, the difference. Lakers go 25 of 30 from the line. And I've never seen this stat, I don't think, in a basketball game. Both teams had the equal shooting percentage, and both teams made 31 of 59 shots. I don't think that's ever, I've never seen that in basketball, at least in my days. And in that game, Steve, I thought CJ Robinson was big, you know, one of your best defensive players, but sure, he stepped up and scored 19 points. You know, you guys had the lead throughout, but you just never were really comfortable until that clock expired.
Yeah, I mean, we were up 18. I just, all the guys came in for clips today, and CJ, I called him after the game, I called him Sunday after I watched the film in the morning, and just tell him what a great game he had. He put so many things together with some of the moves that he's been practicing over the last 3 years. He was so efficient with his 19 points, under control. You know, I could hear him in our huddles when Coach Stowe and I talk before we go into the huddle. I could hear him, guys, we're all right. We're all right. I mean, like you said, we were up 18. They cut it to 12 a couple times and 9 a couple times. When you're up 18, all of a sudden 9 points doesn't seem as big. You know, if you're up 5 and you go up 9, it feels like huge.
Right.
But when it goes the other way, you feel that momentum going to the other side. CJ's that calming influence on our team. And I mean, he's certainly, if not our best leader, he's one of them. And I was really happy for him to have 19 points. And like you said, very efficient in his shooting and scoring, and he always guards the other team's best player. So it was nice for a change for him to be one of our leading scorers and get that many shots, and he certainly took advantage of it.
Steve, you have a big roster this season, which has helped as you have suffered several key injuries, including a gentleman you mentioned, Caden Ebeling, early season loss, and he was a big part of your offense. You know, a lot of size, a lot of scoring ability, so you've had to adjust, and many nights you're outsized underneath. How has that adjustment been, and who are some of the players that you have really looked for to step up and fill in for that kind of big man role, so to speak?
Yeah, and then obviously Keymon Bassett was out before with his knee. He had a meniscus surgery, so he was out while Caden was in, and then Caden got out and Keymon was coming back, so they never really got a chance to play together. That's what we were really looking forward to as a dynamic duo, those two guys together, because I mean, I've seen them play in open gyms and practices, and they are just a force together. They just pass the ball to each other well, and they, you know, they really know each other's games very well for having played that much together. But, you know, when Caden went out, it changed our dynamic for sure. And Justin Fisher, who is, you know, he's the Swiss Army knife for us defensively. He guards point guards all the way up to centers. We, at the very end of that Grand Valley game, we switched him onto their center and put Keymon on their power forward because he was scoring a little bit. And, you know, it's just a nice luxury to have that we can start Justin at the point guard at 6'5", and he can guard other teams' power forwards. And we've used that and had, you know, certainly Kendall Perkins has played a great role for us as a starter now as a freshman. He's getting better every single day. We love his development, but I mentioned Keymon Bassett a couple of times. What do you say about him? He was first team all league guy last year coming back. And then Hunter Soper, you know, a guy that doesn't play a ton, but normally plays 5 to 12 minutes a game, but he gives us great minutes off the bench, and he's super athletic, and he certainly has a very, very bright future for us. So those guys have done a really good job. And then when needed, Dan Few has stepped into 2 or 3 different games and been a major difference for us too at center. So we pieced it together really well, I think, with those guys. And you know, we certainly do miss Caden, but I think our other guys have stepped up and done a great job.
Steve Hennigan joining us on the game, head coach of the Laker men's basketball team. So, coach, your team now 8-6 in GLIAC play, tied for fourth place with Grand Valley and Parkside. 6 games left, including a big home game on Thursday against Ferris State, a team that's undefeated going into tonight's action. They're playing Davenport, and certainly a team that you've had some tussles with over the years. I remember the year they won the national championship. You handed them their only loss that season. So you got a good team coming in Thursday. What do you expect out of that game?
Well, I mean, Ferris is who they are. They're a great team, and they're going to come in. They're not going to change their style. So if any of us think that, we're crazy. They're going to come in. Obviously, you know, it would be certainly a slight upset if they lose at Davenport. Wouldn't be a huge upset because Davenport is very talented and a very good team. But if they come in undefeated, which they might do, obviously, it's going to be a tough battle. We were right there with them the first game. We were down 1 going into halftime. They hit a 3 at the buzzer on kind of a block shot, you know, shot it cross half court, threw it up and went nothing but net, put us down 4. And we just really never recovered the second half. And they kind of took control of the game in the second half. But they're just big, powerful. They're good at every position. They have a great point guard who was player of the year candidate, Walt Kelser, has been, you know, their leading scorer the last 3 years. And Alui is a guy that they lost last year. He's back from injury at power forward, and they have everything covered. They have shooters, they got size, they got speed. They're the same team they've always been. They crashed 4 guys to the board. So whenever we play them, it's obviously a war, and we have to be ready. We got to put on the hard hats and bring the lunch pails, because playing Ferris is no easy task. It's a man's game. You know, we say that all the time about certain teams that we play, and like, I mean, no boys allowed in this game. So you got to come ready to play and battle. And if you're not, they're going to make you look stupid.
And we'll have those games right here on News Talk 1400 Thursday night. I'll be filling in for Dave John, and we'll have the pregame show 5:15. Yours truly, and Ray Bell with the call. Steve Hennigan joining us on the game, head coach of the Laker men's basketball team. And coach, always good to see you. And we'll certainly talk to you at halftime of the girls game on Thursday, if you can make it up. And best of luck to the Lakers. And hey, you know what? You're playing for home court advantage in that quarterfinal, so you got 6 games left. Had good crowds this weekend. I'm sure you want to see more, not just Thursday, but in the final regular season games and hopefully GLIAC quarterfinals.
that's obviously the hope, and that's what we got to try to fight for these next six games, and I appreciate it, and I look forward to seeing you on Thursday night.
And one other note, Steve, your Rams playing in the Super Bowl on Sunday.
They?
Yeah, they are. Yep, Steve, heading a very long-time Rams fan, not a bandwagon fan, so no practice on Sunday night. We already talked about that. I would ask your prediction, but I kind of think I know. What do you think? Who's going to win?
I think it's going to be a great game. Like Cincinnati's been counted out by a lot of people, and I think it's going to be a great game, and I think would love to see nothing more than Detroit's former quarterback Stafford leading us on that game-winning drive to win it. But yeah, if we happen to blow them out, I won't be disappointed.
Yeah, just remember, it's a Lions quarterback that takes you to the promised land. Right. Steve, thanks, and we'll talk to you on Thursday. All right, we're going to take a break, get a Fox Sports report, and when we come back, we'll talk Sioux Ontario sports with David McKeag Jr., all coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400. And welcome back to The Game on News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you, and joining us now, co-host of The Game here on News Talk 1400, also host of The Game Sports Show in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Ladies and gentlemen, David McKeag Jr. joining us once again on this Monday night. Dave, how you doing tonight?
Scotty, I'm doing great, my friend. Always great to be here with you. How are you today?
Doing great, Dave, and February is passing us by very quickly, and we are getting into the meat and potatoes portion of the schedule in the Ontario Hockey League. Let's start with the Sioux Greyhounds. A fair weekend, you could say, for the Hounds. They did lose to North Bay on Thursday 5-2. They would fall in overtime in North Bay on Friday 5-4, but they did pick up a point in that game. And then yesterday afternoon, the Hounds doubled up Sudbury by the score of 6-3. So the Hounds now 24-13-4-1, 53 points, still leading the West Division over Flint by 3 points. The Firebirds do still have 2 games in hand on the Hounds. The Hounds were scheduled to host Sudbury tomorrow night, but that game has been postponed. The Hounds are scheduled to host the Sarnia Sting this Friday and Saturday night at the GFL Memorial Gardens, 7:07 face-off both nights. You can hear those games over on Rock 101. So, you know, Hounds, Dave, you know, not the best weekend, but again, we haven't seen this team have that really bad road trip or that really bad weekend. They did pick up a win, an extra point, and you know what? You go on the road, you win 3 out of a possible 6 points, that's still not bad.
No, it isn't. And, you know, I saw a couple notable articles. I don't want to say, I'm not going to quote where those came from. Obviously not to kind of throw anything, anyone, or whatever you want to call it underneath the bus or anything. But the question that came said, oh, after a questionable weekend, what should the Hounds do? Should we be worried? Was another one. And I sit here and I put a grin on my face because – but if you can remind the listeners, Scott, what's the record again? 24-13 and what?
Yeah, 4-1, 53 points, okay. Top of the West Division.
Okay,
not
so
bad.
Okay, I'm gonna tell people again, if I could, I might get Scott to re-say that record one more time when I'm done my point. This is a team that is above 500 significantly. They're in a very competitive league, the division, the overall, the Ontario Hockey League had a scope and a landscape this year that was so questionable. So when I see posts that are around the realm of, oh, this wasn't the best weekend, or what should they do next? Because the ways is a lot of question marks this weekend. Look, myself and Scott are in the world of media, obviously, okay? Look what we're doing right now. All right, but I've always taken pride in our show for what we talk about being very real. And I'm going to speak some real smack with everyone here because, you know, I come from a long line of being a hockey player and a hockey fan. And let me tell you, as a hockey fan, I've been dragged through the dirt in more ways than one. And I've been hurt and heartbroken in ways that can't be explained. And only fellow Leaf fans can back this up. And I've also grown up watching the Greyhounds with just absolute stardomize, like just these stargazes. Okay, so all the players that came out of here, the Jeff Carters, the Tyler Kennedys, you know, a friend of mine, Brett Thompson, who had such a great time when he was with the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds when he got dealt here and played. There's a lot of good players that have played with the Sioux Greyhounds. Let me go all the way back to the great one, Wayne Gretzky. I wasn't alive for that one, mind you. But this is an organization that has found ways to win in multiple ways in multiple decades. And this year is no different than the footprint or the paw print, may I add, maybe a little pun intended for everybody.
Very nice.
The way that this team has played, they're tenacious, they're pesky. I've said it the last 4 weeks, I believe, when I've been on this show. And when I see those posts or see reactions that, oh, no, or oh, questions, look, the Leaf fan in me, if you will, taking my host hat off here for a minute, goes, okay, I think we should be pumping the brakes because this is a team that has done quite well this season. There's a lot more positives than negatives, and the season is by far going to not be perfect. Okay, there's going to be questions, there's going to be bumps in the road, but you know what? For a good team to have success, you need to have those bumps in the road. You need to have those bad weekends, those off nights, because the only way you're going to get better as a team is learning from those mistakes. And the Hounds may have not been the typical Hounds that we have seen all season, but I would take a team that is going to lose and be consistent all year and lose the odd game, opposed to a team that's going to go 70-3 and whatever on the season because they're going to be able to battle that animosity. And you know what? With these media posts, those fans, fellow strong fans of myself or those other players of the Greyhounds, they see that. And I'm sure they're getting chuckles as well. And maybe that's what the posts are looking for. But what gears to my whole point is that I will take these off weekends or off nights with the Hounds because it's going to make them a better team overall. And it's going to make them a stronger team. And this team overall is well put together. They are a championship caliber team. We have a great team that's being iced here in the Sioux. And everyone that's saying, oh, what should be done after this weekend, pump the brakes, press control alt delete on your posts. Okay, maybe turn off your phone. And if they go a couple weekends in a row where it's a little bit scarce, okay, then come talk to me and we'll have a reasonable discussion. But right now, not the typical weekend you would see, Scott, like you would say. But you know what? Still a weekend the Hounds can learn from, and a weekend the Hounds can still continue to build as we trot on to the playoffs.
Yes, Dave, the Hounds 24-13 at 4-1 at 53 points leading the West Division. And you just gave reasons number 843,452, 3, 4, and 5 why I'm not on social media. Dave, let's move on to the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League. Action resumed for the first time in 2022. Sioux Eagles, very successful weekend, winning on Friday night at home against Powassan 4-0, and then coming back to win at Blind River 5-4. The Sioux Thunderbirds defeated Greater Sudbury on Friday night 5-2 and then would fall to Powassan 4-0 on Saturday. The Thunderbirds still lead the West Division with 45 points. However, the Eagles starting to sneak up a bit now, just 6 points behind the Thunderbirds with 39 points, and they still hold those four games in hand. It will be a busy week for the Eagles. However, sources close to News Talk 1400 tell me that these games and schedule could change. We don't have anything official, so we don't want to give out any information if we don't have it official. As of right now, the Eagles are slated to take on French River Friday night, 7:30 at Polar Stadium, Blind River on Saturday at 7, and Greater Sudbury next Monday at 7 p.m. And a programming note, next Monday night we will have Sioux Eagles hockey, assuming that schedule stays the same, and not have our show the game. We will move the game to Tuesday night of next week. So, Dave, that certainly includes you. We'll be on the air next Tuesday. The Sioux Thunderbirds also in action this week. They'll take on Blind River at home on Wednesday and French River on Saturday. So the NLJHL back, Dave, and certainly good to see.
Oh, it is great to see. You know, just hockey getting back to full flights for both the Birds and Eagles. God, I'm laying those puns down today with the
you
flights.
You really are.
I don't know where they're coming from, so my apologies for the cringiness probably coming from the fans. Cringiness is also not really a word, so don't use that. But you have the NOJHL back. It's exciting hockey, okay, Scott? And I've always said this. I've had a pretty good conversation this past weekend where I was playing the Mayor's Open League, where the league is back on there as well. A lot of good former NOJHLers, OHLers, AHLers, and even NHLers that are in that league. Very competitive is that Sioux Mayor's Hockey League, but that's for another segment and talk another day. But we had a good conversation in the room that the hockey in the NOJHL nowadays is obviously very different, much like how the NHL is different than it was a decade ago. But the NOJHL has a very good speed to the game. You know, you still see the body checking, the hitting, but you don't see that the quote-unquote Tillies or the same aggressiveness as you once did see. You get to see the talent that's on the ice with the speed that may be in the two-way hockey players that like to go in the corners and come out with the puck but have that speed and the ability to score. Those are the types of players that are flourishing. And teams like the Eagles, the Thunderbirds, the Blinder Beavers have really come up, but the other two that I've mentioned there, they've always had great talent, okay? And then, you know, I can sit here and say that the older teams can beat the new. I don't know how true that would be because the talent that both teams are icing right now, they have great hockey teams, and the Eagles are coming right up the rears on the Thunderbirds, and it's going to make for an exciting finish this year. And just to see it back, it's a relief. You know, it's so great to see it back, and people in the community have been waiting for something to do for the past 700 and whatever days. Okay, we got the Hounds, you got the Birds, you got the Eagles, you got, I don't know, you got parks you can bring your dog to. There's stuff you can do. Get out and enjoy, but there's nothing better than sitting in a nice rink. A very nice rink is the John Rhodes or the GFL, whatever rink you go to, and you get to enjoy some good high-paced hockey. I encourage it. And heck, I miss playing, so I wish, I'm jealous of seeing all the kids play. And I call them kids because 20 and under is still a young age, but it's great hockey to watch, and it's very, very exciting.
David McKay Jr. joining us on the game. And Dave, the Winter Games in Beijing has begun. The U.S. and Canada women's hockey teams, both undefeated, rolling through their competition, will be taking on each other later tonight. And the round robin portion of the schedule, very likely that those two teams will meet in the gold medal game yet again, barring a very big upset. Canada got their first gold medal yesterday. The U.S. still looking for their first gold medal. And of course, Sioux Michigan native Abby Rock playing on the U.S. women's hockey team. Certainly a lot of good viewing pleasure for the winter sports. I actually like the Winter Olympics a little more than the Summer Olympics. The events are more intriguing to me. Maybe it's because of where we grew up or where we're still living as far as the winter sports activity. But before we end our segment, Dave, tell us a little bit about what you've seen in the winter games so far.
Oh, you know what? I love the winter games as well, Scotty. You know, when it comes to summer, there's a lot of great to watch. The swimming, I love the track. I used to, obviously, he's not a Canadian, but I'm a big fan of Usain Bolt. And maybe that's going against my country. I don't know. But, you know, obviously now having Degrassi, it's very, very, very good to see the Summer Olympics. Don't get me wrong. But when it comes to the Winter Olympics, it is something special. And I think you've stated the point accurately there. I think it is where we grew up, and obviously myself and yourself enjoying the winter sports, myself being a massive fan of hockey. I think, you know, being around the winter sports a lot more, it feels a bit more closer to comfort. And last night I did have the opportunity to watch the snowboarding freestyle, and to see Max Perot win the gold medal was great. His battle with cancer just a couple years ago, and now to be on the podium on the gold medal, it's a tremendous story.
Great story.
It's great. All sports individuals like myself and Scott Nason and the crew of the game and Tid Gem would certainly agree with making that a story. But stories aside, that's a tearjerker. You know, that's what makes you feel, you know, the compassion for one when it comes to overcoming such a obviously scary sickness like cancer is. And to not only have that a couple years ago, to win a gold medal is absolutely amazing. And, you know, Mark McMorris, there was a guy that Canada had expected being in the position of Max Perot, but him still getting a bronze, Canada getting a gold and a bronze in that, that is absolutely amazing, right? And it was great to see. The Canadian hockey team, Scott, it hasn't been too much competition for either or Canada or the United States. I'm pretty excited to see what happens tonight. And obviously, Sioux Michigan native Abby Rock, very excited to watch her. But it'll be against Canada, so there'll be a little bit of rooting against her, to be completely honest. But I am rooting for her for individual success in this one game. But it has been great, Scott, for real. And there's been, I think the most intriguing sport, the one to watch, is the downhill skiing. When they're booking it going 128 kilometers an hour, let me tell you, if that was me, I would be like, nope, I'm out. I would stop. I would not be able to go down the hill that fast. All the events are just great to watch. It is in Beijing, so obviously the schedule's a little bit later in the night. But if you make time to watch or record, you get up in the morning and watch and get caught up with it. It's all very exciting. I couldn't agree more more with you, Scott, that it's the Winter Olympics has to be a bit more thrilling, especially those who like the winter sports. But there's been a lot of events that's caught my eye. But obviously yesterday with Max Perrault winning the gold and McMorris getting the silver, or sorry, the bronze, you know, defeating the American out. I forget who the American was now, top of my head, who went fourth on that. But, you know, it's been good for Canada so far. So I'm excited to see how the rest of the Olympics play out.
David McKay Jr. joining us on the game. Dave, what's ahead for you and your crew for the Game Sports Show in Sioux, Ontario before we let you go?
So I know I've been teasing the Marcel Dion and Pete Mihovlich show, and it was supposed to be uploaded on Sunday this past week, but after talking to co-host Brendan Brooks on the show, he wanted to have us post it. He asked me if we can post it on Tuesday or Wednesday because we have some arrangements via social media to make sure it gets out there in the right capacity for all the listeners. So we will have that out this week. I promise you that is a Dave McKay Jr. TGM Game Sports Show. Guarantee that will be out this week. I know I've received a couple messages on Instagram about where is it, where has that been. Look, there's a reason, and we will have that up for you. Also, make sure you check out the TGM Network YouTube channel. Sorry, lots of great content on there. But for the Game Sports Show in particular here in Sioux, Ontario, we're going to be having a Top Shelf edition recorded. It will be recorded this evening, but it won't be posted until tomorrow, which is Tuesday, which will be our last show before we post the Pete and Marcel show. Then the next show will be an In the Pocket show for the weekend as we gear up for Super Bowl Sunday between the Lions. Lions. Yeah, that's it.
The Lions.
The Rams. Sorry. Obviously, the Rams and Bengals. I say the Lions because of Matt Stafford being there. Sorry, Lions fans. But of course, we'll be having that show. And that will be our first video show for the Game Sports Show in Canada on the TGM Network. So we got a few things coming this week. We also have a $100 cash giveaway and also a gift certificate as well being given away. So lots of content and lots of stuff to keep geared on the Game Sports Show and TGM Network this week, Scotty.
Dave, always great to have you on the game here on Monday nights, and we will talk to you next Tuesday night. Again, next Monday, Sioux Eagles are on News Talk 1400 taking on Greater Sudbury, so we're going to punt for one day, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday for our next edition. Have a great rest of your week, sir, and thanks for joining us.
You too, my friend, and everyone else, you have a great week and safe week as well, and make sure you hit like, follow, and subscribe on all the Game Sports Show and TGM platforms.
We're going to take a break here on the game. We come back, we'll transition to regional sports with Butch Davis from Butch on Sports, all coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
Let's get back to the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Let's get back to the game on News Talk 1400.
6:53 on the game, News Talk 1400, Scott Nason with you, and joining us now, co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. Brand new edition of Butch on Sports, which you can find on his website, SimplyButch2, that's TOO.podomatic.com. You can also find Butch on Sports on our podcast site, thegamesportsshow.podbean.com, as Butch joins us each and every week to talk about what's going on in the world of sports around his area in Metro Detroit and the world in general. Butch, how you doing on this Monday night, my friend?
I'm doing just fine. I'm lying.
That sounded genuine there for a second.
9 inches of snow. I don't know. It's just been miserable around here. There, you know, you gotta pay to keep your car clean. You know what I'm saying?
I do, Butch. We've had our share of snow up here in northern Michigan. And Butch, in the second hour, we're going to talk more about the NFL. Lots of goings on there. But let's start with the Detroit Lions. I mean, their season is done. But the one thing they're going to need to do is fill their offensive coordinator position. As during the season, of course, they fired Anthony Lynn and head coach Dan Campbell took over the play calling duties. And that leaves the question, who takes his place? There are multiple candidates available internally and externally, but the Lions apparently have been interviewing candidates. However, the list remains shrouded in mystery. I know that's a shock with the Detroit Lions, but do you have any thoughts as far as offensive coordinator for the upcoming season? One of the names mentioned, Ben Johnson, the current tight ends coach. What does Butch Davis think about the Lions offense and especially their coordinator next season?
Boy, that's Atlanta crap. Took about 2 minutes. Gosh, what an introduction for a 30-second doggone answer. And, you know, when you give all the evidence that you just gave a few minutes ago, it tells me they're doing absolutely nothing, okay? And that's just the size of it. And nothing's going to move until after the Super Bowl or, you know, or then some. And you said best. Right now, it's going to probably be somebody, if they're going to be safe and sorry, it's going to have to be someone internal, okay? It cannot be someone, unless they explicitly want to come to Detroit and give their heart and soul to the job at hand. And I don't see that coming from the outside right now. I see that coming internally, you know, because good things can come about it via maybe a head coaching position in the NFL or the boot league, football league or something of that nature. But I don't see nothing happening right now. A lot of talk is a lot of things there, but when you hear what you just told me, and it just lays out the one thing, and that is that they're not making any progress at all.
No, it doesn't sound like it, Butch. And we got about 2 minutes left before we go to our top of the hour break, and we're going to talk more NFL to start hour two. But, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals, Butch, in the Super Bowl after 2 seasons ago, 2-14, the Lions, of course, had a better record that season. What do the Lions need to do, in your opinion, to get to that level? Not just that level, but to make the playoffs and win their second playoff game since Ike was president, or in the last 65 years. What are their biggest pressing needs, in your opinion, heading into the offseason?
That's going to take 15 minutes. I'm honest about this situation there. And then some. That's going to might have to take a commercial break or something and continue with the conversation.
We can do that.
The deal is very simple here. You got to start at the top, and you work your way down. As the job, let's get to the point what we can see here. Dan Campbell has changed. Do I see some good points on the young man? Yes, I do. Do I see some coaches who want to be here as he's at the present right now? Yes, I do. So in order for that to hang tough, I see right now the Lions are fine at that particular point and get better players. The general manager hasn't said too much, and when he does say something there, it's kind of cosmetic. But the final analysis is, what are you going to do in the offseason? Are you going to make big moves or use the draft the way it should be? And again, other assets too. The USFL is going to be available with football players. The Canadian Football League has great football players. You know, you draft some from some of these black colleges and some of these small colleges, such as Ferris State, Grand Valley State, Upper Peninsula up there at Lake Superior. You look at the whole base of what you need, and if they do that, they'll find it right in the state of Michigan. But the Lions haven't done that. That's because they have a plastic type of administration that basically right now don't have the foggiest idea of what should be done.
But you got that in just before the break. I'm very impressed.
I am too.
But you're going to take our top of the hour break. When you and I come back, we'll talk more NFL. We'll talk about Tom Brady retiring, the Pro Bowl, the Super Bowl, and a lot of controversy this past week as far as head coaches, and certainly one in Miami making a lot of news. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
Crime Stoppers is brought to you by KC Security Services, voted Sault Ste. Marie's number one security company 4 years in a row. Give us a call or visit our website at kcsecurity.ca and find out how we can help you stay secure.
Crime Stoppers and the Sault Ste. Marie Police Service are requesting your assistance in identifying two suspects involved in an incident of break and enter. On October 6, 2021, two suspects broke into the fenced compound of Superior Marine and Small Engine Repair located in Industrial Park. The suspects left the business with two lawn tractors and two boat radios. The total value of the property was over $8,500. Fortunately, the lawn tractors have been recovered, but the boat radios and the identity of the suspects remain unknown. If you can identify the suspects and your tip leads to an arrest, you may be eligible for a cash reward. Call Crime Stoppers at 705-942-7867 or 1-800-222-8477. You can also click the Submit a Tip button found on our website, sueCrimeStoppers.com, or download the P3 app.
Let's get to the second half of the game on News Talk 1400 WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie. It's the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Now, here's Scott Nason.
And welcome back to the game on News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. And Butch, let's look at the NFL and certainly big news on many fronts from this past week, including the retirement, the official retirement of Tom Brady. He officially announced his retirement from the NFL, saying in an Instagram post this past Tuesday that he's not going to make that competitive commitment anymore. Brady said in his statement, "There is a physical, mental, and emotional challenge every single day that has allowed me to maximize my highest potential. I have tried my very best these past 22 years. There are no shortcuts to success or the field of life." And certainly, Butch, Brady, no lack of success, considered the greatest quarterback in NFL history, winning 7 Lombardi trophies, the most championships won by a single player, along with 5 Super Bowl MVPs, as he rewrote the record book on basically almost every offensive category for quarterbacks. And, you know, we talked about it last week. It wasn't official, but Tom Brady now retiring. Your thoughts?
Short and sweet on this one too here. You know, everything you said is written in scroll. This is a guy who took the best of his career in playing football, the Junior Football League, University of Michigan, and the pros in 2 teams, and made the best of it. He made the best out of every situation. He had the opportunity to do that. I'm going to use the word opportunity because many don't get that. But when Tom got that opportunity, he did what he can do to keep it. And he did it better than anybody else right now in the National Football League.
He certainly did, and Butch, he is certainly my favorite player ever to come out of the University of Michigan. I always thought he handled himself with a lot of class, and certainly his records and his 624 passing touchdowns, 22 seasons, over 84,000 passing yards, and to me, most importantly, 7 Super Bowl titles. It's going to take a lot to try to have a quarterback even approach those numbers. Is it possible? I guess anything's possible, but you know, those are some pretty gaudy numbers that Brady's put up.
Again, opportunity, okay?
Yeah.
He had the opportunity to do it. 22 years of football, that's a lot of opportunities there. And the majority of it, one inch, was during the time he was being able to start. Remember, he came on in there for the quarterback for when he was at New England.
Bledsoe.
Drew Bledsoe. Yep. Okay. And from that point on, he not lost a beat. You know, he won the job. He kept the job. They gave him the opportunity, and he did everything to keep it. And you can't – there's no argument that this guy didn't come to be serious. You know, it, just as serious as someone going to Ford Motor Company or – going to the doctor's office or being a nurse, you know, the dedication was there. And there's nothing bad you can say about that. I tip my hat off to the gentleman. Hopefully we all get that opportunity to do the same as he has in whatever plan of knowledge that we've been given and whatnot. Then this young man, he's done it gracefully, okay? I'm not saying on his private life what's going to happen, and I'm not going to deal with that. But, you know, as far as him in the public concern there, except for deflating football, he's a nice guy, you know, and he's made the best out of his opportunities and paid his crimes.
Yes, exactly. Butch, some other not-so-good NFL stories and certainly ones that have gotten a lot of attention, especially last week and continue to get a lot of attention, involves former Miami Dolphins head coach Brian Flores. He spoke publicly last week for the first time since suing the NFL and 3 of its teams, alleging a pattern of racist hiring practices by the league and other forms of racial discrimination. Flores, along with his lawyers, reiterated and went to detail regarding multiple claims alleged in the lawsuit, which was filed last Tuesday in a Manhattan federal court, and called for the change in the NFL's hiring process. According to Flores, the Rooney Rule is intended to give minorities an opportunity to sit down in front of ownership, but I think what it's turned into is an instance where guys are just checking the box. That has been the case. I've been on some interviews in the past where I've had that feeling. There's always no way to know for sure, but you know, I know I'm not alone in that. Some of the teams that he alleged in this lawsuit have disputed these claims, including the Denver Broncos, their president, John Elway, calling them false and defamatory. Dolphins owner Stephen Ross also disputing the allegations, along with the New York Giants. So, Butch, certainly lots to talk about on this topic. I wanted your thoughts.
Not going to be too positive, I tell you that right now. No, here's the deal, okay? You know, all this trimmed down to the so-called the Rooney Rule, okay, where you would interview a black coach or a minority coach, get them in there, and you at least get one, maybe two. You're okay, regardless of who you hire, which you already know in the get-go, who you're going to hire in the first place.
Right.
That happened with the Detroit Lions. That's happened humongous times in the NFL, okay? So the Rooney Rule is the big problem, okay? Because it was never a rule. It was a fly-by-night situation where you can say you did this and then the other. The NFL's not going to say, hey, look, if Joe Blow coach come into town and be interviewed, they don't give him a little pocket change to go home with, okay? And that's what I think Mr. Flores is going to be bringing out if he end up going to court in a lawsuit there, because there are many coaches they found out they have done that, okay, and still did not get hired, but the convenience was paid off, okay. And looking at Flores' record, that he's had a positive record with the Miami Dolphins ever since he's taken over. Jim Caldwell, the same way with the Detroit Lions. Positive record. So there's much to do with the NFL shining by night. Now, they have hired five white coaches in a row, but the last two have been minorities. And today, let me say, Houston just hired a coach.
Lovie Smith.
And that's Lovie. Yeah, Lovie got a coach job down there. Now, no one thought of Lovie, okay? Lovie's doing his thing in Illinois, okay? Minding his own business. And all of a sudden he gets a job. Well, Lovie should never lost any kind of contact in the first place. You know, if that's the reason, okay. But that's not the reason. There's a whole heck of a lot of good young black coaches working in the National Football League. They are not considered at all. Duke Staley, the Lions got a couple of them, okay. That has been very admirable about being a coach. Or doing some fine jobs with their coaching opportunities and stuff there. In the NFL right now, and, you know, in a statement with Roger Goodell just the other day, there's much work to do. And he's right. There's a lot of work to do. There is no blacks in, I would say, majority type of ownership. That has to change, okay? And it won't right now as long as you have 32 or 33 owners who are white. And basically right now, if a black man don't give an opportunity to buy a club, that's not, what can you do, okay? So you can't take away, and this point I want to make very clearly, you can't take away what an owner wants to do and how he wants to run his team. That's regardless of who he hires, okay? That's cut and dry. He has that right. Now, if he's not doing it in a decent manner or premeditate something in order to shock the world or basically put hardship on other people, and that's including firing them for no reason at all, there's something wrong. And I think the NFL has to realize there's something wrong with how a lot of owners run their team.
Another part of this allegation, Butch, outside the coaching hiring practices, was Flores alleged in the suit that while he was with Miami, team owner Stephen Ross told Flores that he would pay him $100,000 for every loss during the coach's first season because he wanted the club to tank so they could get top pick in the 2020 NFL draft. And that top pick is the quarterback going to the Super Bowl, Cincinnati's Joe Burrow. The NFL is expected to investigate these allegations as well as money for losses. And again, you know, in Flores's case, if you got the owner telling you, you know, here's $100,000, tank all these games, I mean, that's kind of a tough position to put him in.
Not a tough position. Why did Flores, when this particular type of deal happened, didn't take the money, then report the guy, this is what he did to me, and give it back.
Yeah.
You know, and when he did that, do it with the right officials and say, hey, look, you know, is your game not getting tainted or what? That didn't happen. This is something down the road a piece. And again, allegations are allegations.
Right.
I think Brian Flores has a sore spot, and he should, because he was fired for no unapparent reason, okay? He did what he was trained to do, and what he did for the club is to win. Now, I'm talking about Brian Flores is in charge and has some input with the general managers and the ownership on how to make the team better. And Brian, I'm quite sure he's saying that as well. There you go. So Miami already premeditated that they were going to get rid of this man. And that's not right. That's not right at all. You know, without compensation, and this man is due that, and I'm quite sure he didn't get any from where I'm looking at the allegations right now. That's a big chunk to swallow. I don't know what you think, but, you know, that's where it is right now.
Yeah, it's a tough situation. It certainly needs to be explored. I mean, these are very heavy allegations and possibly very warranted allegations from what he's gone through, coaching, hiring practices to having an owner tell you that you need to, you know, tank football games. It's something that happens, I think, in the NFL from time to time. But certainly let's hope it gets investigated and better things come out of it. But we've been saying this for a long time, unfortunately, Butch, and it doesn't seem like better things come out of it very much. Speaking of not better things coming out of it, the Pro Bowl was played yesterday. If anyone watched, the AFC beat the NFC 41-35 in a glorified flag football game. Butch, did you watch the Pro Bowl yesterday?
The last 2 minutes.
Wow.
That's it. You know, I did not watch it. I don't look at dog and pony shows. You know, and I just think it's a phony, okay? It's, you know, I don't know why they play it. They should play it in the summertime or during the course of the beginning of the season so I can see some real contact, number one. Number two, you know, it doesn't attract me, okay? I did not watch it. And I saw the last portion of it. That's when I saw Jones get away and was running the ball, and they put two hands on him like you're playing two-hand touch, and they got a whistle, but Jones got away from the two-hand touch and ran toward the end zone, did a dance and all. Of course, the touchdown did not count because of the whistle and the two-hand touch. That's all. I cut it off after that. You know, that was it. You know, dog and pony show.
You watched two more minutes than I did, Butch, and I thank you for that because I have nothing to add about the Pro Bowl.
I'm sorry. I'm just not impressed on how the NFL do an All-Star game.
Well, we do have the big game coming up on Sunday, Butch, Super Bowl 56, the upstart Cincinnati Bengals making their third ever Super Bowl, looking to win their first, take on former Lions. That's right, Al. You got that right. But a former Lions quarterback will be in one as Matt Stafford leads the Los Angeles Rams in a home game at SoFi Stadium Sunday night. Certainly lots of hoopla for the rest of the week. Just wanted your overall thoughts going into the Super Bowl, Butch. Rams and Bengals, what are you thinking?
It ain't about the Detroit Lions. That's
no,
sure.
It's not.
And
again,
I don't even want to give the man no attributes anymore. He was Detroit Lions, so be it. He's now with the Rams. Good luck on that there. And that is it. You know, do I have any attributes? Hell no. You know, he's with another team now. But as far as the opportunity he has right now, it looks like this team that he was on has made the best of it out of it today. I was able to listen to Cooper Kupp on the virtual meeting that they had, opening day, or they call opening night, that which is virtual and whatnot. And I heard so much garbage, it startled me here. And I'm glad I only got 15 minutes of it, because I couldn't do it with any, no, 45 minutes. But, it, you know, I'm ready for the game. I want to see who's going to win and who's going to lose. This build-up, I never, you know, when I go and check a game on out, I go empty-handed, you know. I look at the stats and whatnot, that's true. But other than that, I'm ready to see the game. And, you know, until that point in time, on Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening at 6:30 or 6:32, you know, I'll get it together then. But right now, I'm seeing two good teams who beat the crap out of some better teams, and they're in the dance right now, and the best team wins.
Yeah, it's one of those situations for me, Butch. You know, obviously I don't have any experience for the team I root for in the Super Bowl, being the Detroit Lions, but it's kind of a rarity for me. Usually I'm pulling for one team more than the other, putting
I'm
on my...
I'm from Cincinnati because my mother's from Kentucky. Louisville's right nearby. Cincinnati ain't nothing but a nice little ride, about 3 hours, and boom. And a lot of Cincinnati and Ohio do that position when I was coming up and visiting my aunts and uncles and grandma in Kentucky. That's what you got. You got everything Cincinnati from the Reds on down there, and later on the Bengals and stuff. So if I'm going to be sentimental, I'm going to go with Cincinnati.
I am as well, Butch. I just think it's a nice story, a team that, you know, has been in the bottom realms of the NFL for many years and, you know, making their first Super Bowl since 1988. And just the way they did it, you know, not a lot of people gave them a lot of chance at the beginning of the season.
Or LA.
That'd be Cincinnati, you know.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, the Rams have been up there, and it's a nice story there as well. So I'm happy either way, but I'm pulling for the Bengals. It's just a franchise somewhat similar to Detroit. I'm going to put that as a past tense right now because they certainly got their stuff together, and I was about to say something else, but it should be a great Super Bowl Sunday night, and we'll certainly talk more about it next Tuesday on our next version of the game. Butch, we got to take a break, but when you and I come back, we still have a lot more to cover, all coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400.
Are you a do-it-yourselfer homeowner or even a professional contractor and need quality electrical supplies? Maybe thinking about doing some upgrades and don't know where to start? Everything Electric has supplied the Eastern Upper Peninsula for over 40 years. Their experienced staff can help you choose the right supplies you need for your home, business, farm projects, or anything in between. Call 906-632-1235 or come in and talk to the experienced guys at Everything Electric, 2893 Ashman, Sioux, Michigan.
Ah, the joys of cooking. Just find a recipe, get the ingredients, preheat the oven. Okay, this is already too much. Pull up Applebee's to go instead. Choose from the whole menu, order and pay online, pick it up, and now you're home with dinner. Ah, the joys of not cooking. Applebee's to go. Now that's eating good in the neighborhood.
Pick up your next meal with Applebee's Carside to Go. Order and pay online, pick up, and head home.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Madigan Pingator, your independent Auto Owners agency on West Water Street in the Sioux.
I gotta figure out how to move the snow before it gets here. Wow, a lot of plows and blowers in the market. And where are they made? Okay, China. Wait, Brazil? What the? There's no way I'm gonna throw away my money. I'm going with Boss.
Boss snow plows from Gaylor Thompson are made in the UP.
where winter and deep snow are just a way of life. Boss Plows, made in Michigan for Michigan winters. Waiting for you at Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service, exit 373 just off I-75 Rudyard.
You can catch podcasts of the game at thegamesportshow.com. Now let's get back to it with Scott Nason on News Talk 1400.
7:20 on the game, News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. Butch, one other college football note. Our good friend Jim Harbaugh will be back at Michigan this upcoming season. He confirmed last week after being interviewed by the Minnesota Vikings that he is committed to Ann Arbor and the Michigan football program. However, their offensive coordinator, Josh Gattis, he is leaving and moving on, saying goodbyes, and apparently saying he had little appreciation from the administration. Jim Harbaugh back at Michigan. I wanted your thoughts because you know me, Butch. Jim and I are like this, and I'm happy to see him back.
No, you're not.
I was crossing my fingers on that, Butch.
You're right. No, you're not. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what to say. I think is what really happened. They didn't offer him a contract. You know, why go there and waste 2 minutes to go somewhere to know that you're not going to get hired or you don't have any intentions? And to tell me that you can find out three conversations, which he has had with the Minnesota Vikings before this trip, in private or personal or whatever it may be, could be established, that he didn't have some idea of what they wanted to do and how they wanted to do it. So the intention was there to get a job with Minnesota, and it didn't work out, okay? And after some thought, maybe he took a leak or something or had a donut or a hamburger or something and came back to him and said, okay, I'll see you later down the road a piece. Call University of Michigan, let them know, hey, I'm not going anywhere, boys and girls here, so you can establish me a contract. And you know he's not going to get what Michigan State's coach is going to get.
Not at
okay?
all.
He's no. not getting that. He's not getting 95 stink heads. He might get an incentive package second to none if he wins the national championship or something to that nature, the effect of the Big Ten championship and whatever. But again, that's what I see out of the whole situation. The coaches who are left, they were going anyway, and maybe that's where his reluctance of going into coaching in the National Football League may come to doubt, because again, the coach and his brother learned him, okay? You know, and where they did a magnificent job on offense and defense there, he's back with his brother. Okay?
Right.
So, you know, everybody's not saying a whole heck of a lot. You rented a coach for 1 year, and they did very well with it. And now he's back where he could do some damage for, you know, where he come from and whatnot. And that's what is so boggling about football nowadays there, you know. These ties and whatever may be that eventually it end up blowing in a fan's face like the Detroit Lions and whatnot. And in this case, maybe the University of Michigan if he got the job there. Because I think the Falcons' idea is Michigan didn't know who was going to take it. But maybe again, where the offensive coordinator went to Miami, which you're talking about.
Yep.
Would there have been a possibility that University of Michigan might tickle something in this year that if Harbaugh gone, you'll get the job? You know, there's a lot of scenarios you look at there that's not being said and not being told. And so until the smoke dies out and we get the real story about the whole situation, and it will come out. That's where I'm looking at it right now. God bless the University of Michigan. Now he got to work on getting some coaches in there and kind of produce like he produced this past season, okay? Or else it's not going to be favorable at all for him to stay here. They're going to kick him out themselves.
Butch, let's move on to the Detroit Red Wings. They will resume action on Wednesday as they will be at the Philadelphia Flyers. You can hear that game over on 1230 WSOO. The Wings 20-21-6. in the Atlantic and in fifth place, 9 points behind Boston for fourth place and the final wild card spot. And, you know, this Wings team, Butch, in my opinion, they've taken some steps the past two seasons and what's been a very long and lengthy rebuild. Dylan Larkin, Tyler Bertuzzi have made pretty good impacts. Their first round picks, Morris Seider and Lucas Raymond, have played well, but defensively, that continues to be their Achilles heel, in my opinion. Their power play, just not good enough. And they're still learning how to close out these games. We've seen it several times over the past few weeks. Give us your state of the Red Wings heading into the second half of the season.
They're going to have a coming to Jesus meeting. And that's going to include Steve Yzerman saying, enough is enough. What have you done and what are you planning to do about the defense? What are you going to do and what you are planning to do in getting the players that we have right now to play better? Where is your influence lying where these players are not playing to the capability there, which a lot of it is not, especially on defense.
Right.
So that's what you got right there, plain and simple. You have nothing else to work with. Either you get off the pot or else you fill in the blank. Okay, that's where it is right now with the Red Wings, where it stand right now there. It's you know, I think if the Red Wings, with the arsenals that they have right now, should make the playoffs. If they're at the bottom of the barrel, they just get in. Plain and simple. From what I've seen from the other clubs there in the East, very good opportunity. But they can't sit back there and win one game and lose two. That's not going to work out. And if it is going to be that way, then I'm quite sure that they're going to bring up some kids or somebody who's going to replace some of these elders, and we're going to see a lot more changes next year.
Butch, head coach Jeff Blashill has the second longest tenure with his current club. This is his seventh season behind John Cooper of Tampa Bay. You look at his future, and it seems like we've talked about this every week. Many people think playoffs or bust for Coach Blashill, but that come to Jesus moment that you mentioned, certainly he's got to be feeling the heat a little bit. You know, this is his seventh season, and while we've seen some improvements, it still just hasn't been good enough if the Wings are going to make a late playoff push here and try to sneak in.
Well, seven will be unlucky for him.
Okay. I was thinking that.
Plain and simple right now. I see better. Some of the mistakes the Red Wings are making, that's coaching, okay? The way you set up your defense and the way they're supposed to be come after players who are coming on top of net, and these plays are being uncontested. These are where you have five-on-five men, and whatever the zone you're playing or whatever is done being done right now, it has to change because it's not good physical hockey when it comes down to somebody coming in your zone and taking over the way other teams have taken it over. And they have been very, very masculine when they do that there.
Butch, before we go to our bottom of the hour break, the NHL All-Star Game was played this weekend at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Congratulations to the Metropolitan Division as they win the 2022 NHL All-Star Game 5-3 against the Central Division. Claude Giroux, the Philadelphia Flyers captain, was named Most Valuable Player. I'll ask you again, like I did with the Pro Bowl, did Butch Davis tune in?
No.
Nor did Scott Nason.
No. I didn't see it. Didn't look at it. Didn't care about it. I don't like the 3-on-3.
No.
Play. I think that stinks. I don't like the cheating that they're giving the fans when it comes down to a competitive East versus West, mama versus daddy, whatever you want to put the rivalry with, it's not there. You know, it's a joke, okay? And really and truly, when it gets down to the real nits and grits, it's an offensive battle because, again, they don't play any defense at all. So, again, I didn't watch it. not appealing.
No, not at all. And the skills competition on Friday night, I was watching the Olympics. I just had no desire to watch somebody shooting at the fountain and at the Bellagio. Just didn't do it for me, Butch.
What was that? You know, that's WWE stuff there, you know? That's like Steve Austin throwing somebody in the damn Detroit River.
Oh, on that note, we're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll get a Fox Sports report. And when Butch and I come back, we still have more to discuss, including the Detroit Pistons, the Detroit Tigers, and more on the national sports front scene, or national sports front scene, either way, all coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, News Talk 1400. News. We are.
And here's what you need to know.
The New Orleans Saints are promoting defensive coordinator Dennis Allen to head coach. Sean Payton had stepped down. The Texans are promoting defensive coordinator Lovie Smith to head coach. That's now official. Houston had talked to Josh McCown and Brian Flores. Smith has coached the Bears, the Bucks, and the University of Illinois. Ex-Raiders interim coach Rich Bisaccia is expected to become Green Bay's special teams coach. The Giants signed quarterback Davis Webb and punter Jamie Gillen. Bengals tight end C.J. Uzomah with his sprained MCL says he expects to play in Sunday's Super Bowl against the Rams in LA. He's still listed as day-to-day. Rams tight end Tyler Higbee with a sprained MCL will likely miss practice at least early in the week. He's day-to-day, not yet ruled out for the big game. Two injury replacements were named for the NBA All-Star Game, LaMelo Ball of the Hornets and DeJounte Murray of the Spurs for Kevin Durant and Draymond Green. Five NBA games tonight. I'm Steve DeSager.
Hi, I'm Madison Gary.
I'm Dylan Benson.
I'm Kendall Wiesner, and we're from the K-Stars. On behalf of our team,
we want to wish Abby Rock
and Team USA's women's hockey team good luck at the Winter Olympics in China.
Good luck, Abby!
This is Carl McCready, principal at Syria High School and Career Center, wishing former Sioux High hockey player from the class of 2016, Abby Rock, best of luck at the Winter Olympics as you go for the gold with Team USA on the women's ice hockey team in Beijing. Go Blue Devils!
Central Savings Bank. Ask what we can do for you.
Central Savings Bank has been your hometown bank since 1902. We live in the communities we serve, and we're here to help. We even help in volunteer hours. With conveniences like mobile banking, you can access your money when and where you want. Make deposits anywhere, anytime. Pay your CSB loans from anywhere with CSB Loan Pay Express. Make purchases using your mobile wallet and enjoy the peace of mind with greater card security. And don't forget about e-statements. Save yourself a trip to the bank and download the app today. Or you can always visit one of our 9 locations to get started. Bank with the best. Bank with Central Savings Bank. Member FDIC EHL.
Central Savings Bank. Ask what we can do for you.
M&C Water Systems has a solution for all your water needs. Want clean, fresh drinking water? M&C Water Systems proudly distributes Norway Springs artesian water, bottled right here in the Upper Peninsula. Cooler rental and bottled water delivery for your home and office are available. M&C Water Systems is offering contactless delivery right to your door, as well as curbside pickup. Call Mo at M&C Water Systems today at 906-647-7307. Serving the Eastern UP for over 25 years.
O'Connor's Chrysler Dodge, Dodge Truck and Jeep in Pickford is your full-service dealership, servicing Pickford and the surrounding areas with pride for more than 50 years. O'Connor's top-notch body shop includes a state-of-the-art frame straightener. O'Connor's is also a proud supporter of community events. Its sales team has the experience to know which model is right for each customer. And with financing available to back your purchase, you can drive away today in your dream vehicle. Local people, local pride. Stop in today on M129 at O'Connor's.
At Old Mission Bank, we're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality. We're excited to announce that we now offer USDA home loans with options for 100% financing. You heard that right, 100% financing for qualifying USDA mortgages. Come see our experienced lenders to discuss your personal options and let us find the right mortgage for your needs, because it's what we do best. Act now to pre-qualify by calling us or apply directly online at omblloans.com. We're Old Mission Bank, home of your experienced local mortgage professionals. FDIC insured equal housing lender.
Let's get back to the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Let's get back to the game on News Talk 1400.
And welcome back to the game on News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. If you want to hear the full two-hour version of tonight's show, you can find it a little bit later on tonight on the website, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. Butch, let's move on to the Detroit Pistons. Another week, more losses. Last night, they fall to Minnesota by the score of 118-105. The Pistons also lost to the Timberwolves earlier in the past week at home. The Pistons now 12-41. One game out of the worst record in the league, which currently belongs to Orlando at 12-43. The Pistons will be at Dallas tomorrow night. You can hear that game right here on News Talk 1400, starting with the pregame show at 8:10. And Butch, this week, the NBA trade deadline is Thursday. We still don't know a whole lot as far as what might happen with the Pistons, but give us your state of the Pistons. It seems like every week we talk about it, more losses.
And do we really care?
No, I don't.
Yeah, well, you know, they pass out the Jeremy Grant cap, and I don't see them putting out any effort really on the floor. However, it looks like that the end is near for Jeremy Grant with the Pistons and whatnot, especially when you got to put somebody's name out there to throw them out in the street to get something that basically they're not going to probably hardly use this year unless it's a draft pick. So, in essence, right now, I feel sorry for the fans who got to, you know, watch it and deal with it for another year of depressing basketball at its finest. There's no more I can say about it right now. You know, they're going to get their break in about three more games, and hopefully the Pistons look at the situation, which is right now, you know, they're not going to the playoffs. Do some things to improve the ante for the Pistons for the next upcoming year, where they'll be competitive.
And the positives, Butch, in the upcoming year is obviously they're going to have a very high draft pick, barring a real bad NBA playoff, or I should say NBA draft lottery as well. They're going to have a whole bunch of salary cap room.
Coaches, okay?
Yes, they do.
Bill Laimbeer is available now. Becky Hammon, after he retired from the Aces, you know, in the Women's Basketball Association.
Yep.
You know, so he's around, okay? That's a person that I would trust to bring some stigma back to Detroit Pistons and what they really mean. I think the biggest thing that I don't see from the Pistons and their players is they're putting out a yeoman's effort and how the bench is being used. The bench is being used very poorly, okay, for the advantages that Detroit Pistons have with a minor league team right down the road. In order to use a bench to wear out teams and do your very best, it doesn't sink in right now. You know, again, when you, Luke Garza, okay, when you sit that guy on the bench and he was a high draft pick, why did you draft him? You know, I can't understand, okay? And I think the fans don't understand. And right now, until we're convinced that they really want to win, I think a lot of people are going to lose interest. Do we still root for the Pistons to be our home team? Yes. But there's got to be some changes made with the confine of what we see right now and what the head coach is giving. Absolutely nothing.
I would agree 100% on the head coach.
Influence over his players means he got to go.
Yeah. I mean, how much longer are you going to give a guy that has proven to just not put a good product on the court and not being able to inspire the players that he has, Butch? And just one other note, you know, the Pistons will have quite a bit of cap room to expend if they will in the upcoming season. One of the best cap availability as far as being able to spend money. However, who wants to come to Detroit? What high profile player is going to want to come to that situation?
Cap room don't mean nothing when basically you don't have coach. You don't have a coach right now, okay? You have a guy who was the coach of the year supposedly with the Toronto Raptors, okay, and got fired. And the guy who came in right behind him, okay? Wins the whole doggone look and barrel, okay? Everything. You think they snuck him a ring across the border?
I don't think so.
No, hell no, okay? It's the reason why you're not where you're at, or basically you're not giving what you're getting. You know, good management staff know who's doing the work, okay? And they're going to find the person who has the influence over the players to get the most out of the players. This man doesn't have it right now. I'm sorry. You know, young players, old players, new players, players from overseas, players from the Boogie Woogie League. Well, this guy don't have it. And the record has proven itself very, very fruitful for a pick in the draft. Maybe the Pistons might get a high draft pick or get absolutely nothing at all.
Butch, moving on to Major League Baseball.
Yes, let's move on.
Yes, let's move on. Yeah, Butch is getting a little crabby here. We don't want to talk too much about the Pistons. We want to get you excited about the Major League Baseball season, Butch, if we have one, as the Major League Baseball is still in a lockout, started by the owners on December 7th. Now in the third month of that, Major League Baseball requested the help of federal mediation last week. The Players Association responded by declining the request. Butch, we should be only a week or so away from pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training, but you know, this is something that seems to get lost in the shuffle with all the sports that are going on. Major League Baseball, where are things? It just seems like there's a lot of unknowns, and is either side going to budge?
Tigers had a press conference today.
Okay.
And it was supposed to be to highlight all this good stuff going on here about the spring training and the parade around the city of Detroit and showing off their players and all, which they can still do.
Sure.
Only thing is they won't be accessing Comerica Park. You know, that's off limits
right.
for them. But again, they can do certain things outside the parameter, and that doesn't include the management or the public relations staff. That's something that the Tigers will have to do on their own, and you know that's not happening,
nope.
Okay? So with all that saying right now, and the point is really, I think, needs to be expressed, is what do the players want? Other than money or some type of compensation, what the owners are getting right now that the players feel that in their, you know, in their treasure chest, they don't have. And really they're not letting the general public lead on or know anything about that right now, which is, it's pretty tough to gauge on why they want to do what they're doing. And to lock someone out means those are serious negotiations that someone's constructed right now, and that is the Players Association. They want something that right now the owners don't want to give. And if it's freedom of movement, or is it cock up in prices when it comes down to what the players get, and maybe some concessions as far as the uniforms that they sell and the novelties that they're hanging around and whatnot. No one said anything. And so right now that's hard to gauge. I know one thing for sure, nothing's going to be on time.
No.
I can guarantee that right now. The season's going to be pushed back. If it ain't nothing but a couple of weeks or a couple of months.
You would think at this point, Butch, that Major League Baseball, the players, the owners, they would have learned a lesson from back in 94 where, you know, I think it hurt baseball for many years as far as just, you know, people watching, you know, the sport, you know, in my opinion, kind of fell at that point, and others, you know, started to take their place. At some point, does the lessons of 94 and locking players out and not having a World Series, I mean, the fact is we're just not hearing anything, and that makes it even more frustrating because, you know, the average fan doesn't know what the heck's going on.
Well, the average fan knows what's going on in general. They look at TV every day, and all they got to do is look at the commercial. FanDuel, Joe Blow do, Bet Fox, do this, do that, you know. And right now, some of the biggest contributors in that who's getting good money from it back are the owners of these baseball teams, football teams,
sure.
hockey teams, and therefore, because the leagues have bought into that. Now, it doesn't say how much a cut the players get from all these goodies here, okay? Which is, to me, comparably, a whole heck of a lot of money. And so that might be one reason that they're holding their boats, because, again, the active player can't go out there and talk about FanDuel and Caesars and all this other stuff there. You might see some retired players do it. You might see some veterans do it there. But you're not seeing no active players being involved in that where they can make some money. It's not happening. But the owners are still getting their cut. That's one of the things that basically right now there's no one's talking about, but I know good and well that is one of the issues.
They're certainly getting a little cut for me lately, Butch. I've been slumping in that department as the, for the past month.
You can get your money back because, from the owner, because they ain't giving it to what they're supposed to get. They're not equally distributing their wealth.
They can write me a check for $2 per bet. That's what they'll
there
do.
You go.
Butch, we're gonna take our final break here of the night. But when you and I come back, we still got to talk about the Winter Games as well as the WWE and more. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game News Talk 1400.
Don Wilson Insurance Agency is big enough to serve and small enough to care. Don Wilson Insurance offers coverage from Fremont Insurance for personal, auto, home, boat, and commercial. Caring about community is just one of the things that sets us apart. We like to think of it as teamwork. When it comes to protecting the things that matter most, we have you covered. Call Don Wilson Insurance today for your free Fremont Insurance quote at 906-635-5600.
Reed Metals in Dafter, your honest main source recycling business, hopes everyone is staying safe during this pandemic that just won't stop. Reed Metals is still paying top dollar for whole scrap vehicles. They also buy heavy equipment, catalytic converters, radiators, lead-based batteries, rims, and motors. Reed Metals will give you an honest price without surprise fees or deductions at the scale. Reed Metals also buys copper, brass, lead, tin, cast, aluminum, steel, and many more types of recyclable metals. Reed Metals wants to pay you for your scrap metals and scrap vehicles. Reed Metals also offers roll-off dumpster service. Reed Metals is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit ReedMetals.com. Reed Metals is conveniently located only 10 miles south of the Sioux on Mackinac Trail. Take care of your property with equipment you can count on, like the Kubota BX and L Series compact tractors, part of our under 100 horsepower tractor lineup rated number one for reliability, and Z Series motors and Sidekick utility vehicles, where durability meets speed. Visit your local Kubota dealer for a demo today. Skinner's of Pickford, your tractor source in the north, Pickford, Michigan. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer. You can catch podcasts of the game at thegamesportshow.com. Now let's get back to it with Scott Nason on News Talk 1400.
And welcome back to the game on News Talk 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. Just a programming note, next week we will have Sioux Eagles hockey here on News Talk 1400 on Monday night as the Eagles take on Greater Sudbury. So we will have our next edition of the game next Tuesday night. So the game will be on Tuesday as we have Sioux Eagles hockey on Monday. And Butch, speaking of hockey, the Winter Olympics has begun in Beijing, China. Team USA earned its first figure skating medal of the Olympics in the team competition. No golds yet for the U.S., but certainly tonight, a big hockey game as the women take place as Team USA will face Team Canada. And so before we get to our Mount Rushmore of favorite Olympic events in the Winter Games, Butch, just overall, have you caught any of the Winter Games, and what are your thoughts?
Just a bit of it there. I watched the little sledders who they sled 26 miles or something like nature. I watched that, okay? I don't know why, but I watched it there, you know. And it was somewhat a bearable to deal with there. But I saw a little bit of the mogul. I did see that. Not too much there. The hockey game, I wanted to set my alarm clock because, again,
it's a late one.
It's a very late one indeed there, you know, for people who got to get up early in the morning at 6 o'clock or maybe sooner. But we'll hear about it in the morning or something like that there. But, you know, until I think the weekend is always the best time to watch the Olympics for majority of everybody, especially when it's in a different time zone or something, such as it is in China, where right now it's 7-something in the morning or whatnot.
Sun's rising.
Getting cranked up right now.
Yeah, the sun's rising in Beijing, China. No snow, but you have man-made, or I should say human-made snow on the slopes. And Butch, we haven't played Mount Rushmore for a while, so I wanted to get your favorite four winter sports events of the Winter Games. I will give my favorite four, ones I like to watch, but I will give you the honors to go first. What is one of your favorite winter events? Olympic sports to watch on the telly?
Well, the first one would be hockey, of course, there. Men's and women's alike. You normally get a win during the not maybe so much in the qualifying rounds, but during the quarters and semis and the finals there, you get really a whiff of some great competitive there. So I would say hockey wins, men's and women's.
Yeah, I figured you'd say hockey, so I left that off of my list. Butch, I agree. I like enjoying both, or watching, I should say, both the men and women's hockey. It's just amazing to see how far the women's game has come over the years. For when they first had in the Olympics, just the level of play has been outstanding. And certainly here locally, we're rooting for our own hometown girl in Abby Rock on Team USA. So certainly a vested interest, not just as an American, but as a hockey fan.
Name in there. We should have said it 10 times last hour.
That's all right. We've said it a lot already, Butch. One of my favorite events is one we saw last night, the slalom. It wasn't a good run for Michaela Schifrin as she fell at the beginning, but I love the slalom. I like a lot of the downhill skiing events, but the slalom is the one I like, you know, going in between those flags and many times not taking the right turn, hitting a rut, and that's one of my favorite ones to watch. The downhill slalom. Butch, what's your second or one of your other four favorite events to watch in the Winter Games?
The triathlon.
Yes.
I like that one, man. They shoot things and stuff there and get back on their skis and do it some more. And I don't know. It's such exhilarating stuff there. And that ain't no triathlon there. They just keep shooting and skiing on some skis and stuff there. But that would be the next one there.
Yeah, I like that one as well. The you know, I've skied and I've shot guns. I'm much better at skiing than I am shooting guns, and I certainly never did the biathlon at the Winter Games. Another one I like, Butch, I like the figure skating. I know that's not the most macho thing to say on a sports show, but I enjoy the pairs figure skating, watching those athletes and just seeing you know, the things that they do on the ice. It's always a lot of fun. It certainly takes a lot of talent and endurance, and boy, I wouldn't want to be responsible for throwing a person up there and having to catch them. We did see a couple tumbles last night, so I'm a big fan of the pairs figure skating. That's my second entry to the Mount Rushmore of Winter Olympic sports. Butch, what's your next one?
The women's figure skating.
I like that one too.
I like the singles in that event. The elegance that the women bring to the ice and whatnot there is unbearable. And unbeatable as well there. It's the men do a pretty good doggone decent job, but the women, they put the oomph in figure skating and the beauty of it there. So I like that. That would be my third one.
Yeah, we certainly saw Kamila Vileva, the 15-year-old out of Russia, or the Russian Olympic Committee, whatever they're calling them. She did two quads, which is the first time that's ever been done, and that was very impressive. Butch, I like the luge. I don't know what or how people that got into that sport did, but boy, you got to be crazy to go on your back on a sheet of ice and just hope for the best, because those athletes are going fast and it's a lot of fun. I mean, you're talking hundredths of seconds, not just seconds. And I'm a big fan of the luge. That is fast and that is wild. Butch, what's your last entrant into your favorite events of the Winter Games?
Four-man bobsled.
Yes. I was hoping you'd say that.
Four-man bobsled. I don't care who's in it. Just to see them guys get in there and the timing they deal with. And now they put the athlete involved in that bobsledding. You get somebody who got some very good lower body strength and can run. And you see a lot of athletes and track stars get into that there. I mean, it's a treat to watch. So.
And Jamaica, like, yep. Jamaica has a team this year too, Butch. Of course, the movie Cool Runnings, yep.
And they will qualify.
I bet they will. Butch, my other sport on my list, I love curling. I know it may not be the most exciting sport to watch, but I'm much like it, just a lot of intrigue, a lot of strategy, and certainly it's an event I usually only watch during the Olympics, but usually they show the replays during the day, and I'm a big fan of the curling. So those are some of the events that we like, Butch. And before we get to our thumbs up and thumbs down for the week, Butch, WWE, lots of things heating up before WrestleMania, and of course their pay-per-view. You had Goldberg come back again. He's going to take on Roman Reigns. Ronda Rousey was on SmackDown. She's going to take on Charlotte Flair. Certainly lots of happenings in the WWE. Give our listeners an update.
Well, not too much update. You gave the bases in the drawer. A lot of things are being calculated by the WWE because right now they're feeling the funk of the other wrestling ensemble there.
Yep.
And you can see it's paying dividends. Now, if a lot of people don't know, Impact Wrestling has got changed over a little bit now. And the WWE and also the Impact Wrestling is also bidding with the AEW on who's going to get the majority of that talent right now. And that's some of that talent pool from the old Impact to the new Impact owners and whatnot. It's making a huge difference in how the WWE is approaching their right now their present as well as their future, and bringing in some new people in there to kind of brighten things on up there. They're doing good with the women, but I think the men's situation there needs a lot of work indeed.
Butch, let's get to our thumbs up and thumbs down for the week. I will start thumbs up to the Laker men's and women's basketball teams this weekend. It was a fun Saturday at the Bud Cooper Gymnasium. The women winning their third game of the year in overtime. A good crowd for that one. And then the men winning at their third straight game. Always fun to go to Laker basketball. I was able to take my dad to a game, Butch, for the first time in almost 2 years since before COVID. It was great to have Roy beside me watching the games, and thumbs up to the Laker men's and women's basketball teams, and thumbs down to New Orleans Saints running back Alvin Kamara. Over the weekend, video surveillance has now surfaced showing him punching a man approximately 8 times at a Las Vegas casino. Just, you know, don't get yourself in a bad situation. You got so much going. We see it out far too often, Butch. And again, just another example of a bad decision by an NFL professional athlete. Butch, your thumbs up and thumbs down for the week.
The dude was drunk.
Yeah, that too. Then there's that, yes.
Hey, he's going to be two in the NFL for a minute too. But, hey, you know, let's say ditto on that there, okay? Let's give it to tonight for the USA women's hockey team, and of course your favorite son in Sault Ste. Marie there. Say her name again, Scott.
Abby Rock.
There we go. Very good. You got 10 more times here before we get off the air. Now, but anyway, hip hip hooray for them, and they get good tidings with Canada. Long history with them since women's hockey came into play since 68. They've represented it in the finals 9 times.
Wow.
9 times.
That's good.
Only they missed one. So that's a lot of good. Bad apple, Kamara is one of the bad apples there. And also the National Football League for some of this garbage that's going on here right now there. They need to clean the house, okay? And clean the house in order where basically we don't have some of these little incidents occurring there. Mr. Flores needs to get himself together too there. He can't let his pride and his self being. He needs to move on as well.
Butch, we got about a minute left. What's in store for Butch on Sports this week?
I don't know. we're almost to the butt line of basically right now playoffs, yep, in basketball in the state of Michigan there. And right now we're going to probably be looking at the record so far in a lot of the divisions, especially in the Downriver, the Western League, as well as Detroit Public School League, and some surrounding other leagues there in the complexity of how many games were canceled and how many games were not. Who we think is going to win this third round thing?
Sounds good to me, Butch. Butch Davis joining us on the game. Butch, as always, a pleasure to have you on our show, and we will talk to you next Tuesday night for our next edition of the game.
Okie dokie.
All right. Want to thank Butch Davis, along with co-host David McCaig Jr. and our special guest, head coach of the Laker basketball team, the men's team, Steve Henninga. If you want to hear the full two-hour version of tonight's show, you can find it here in about 20 minutes on the website, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. That's going to do it for tonight's show. We will talk to you next Tuesday night for our next edition of the game here on News Talk 1400.
Thanks for listening to the game on News Talk 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie. Check us out next Monday at 6 for the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. You can hear the podcast of the show and other broadcasts at thegamesportsshow.com.